We've all had to deal with them. Some we've watched from afar. Some we've had to put in their place. But what makes a Karen a Karen? That's today on Cautionary Tales with Harper.
Cautionary Tales. Stories that are passed down or around. But are they always true? Do we really know their true meaning or intent? This is the podcast where we dive into cautionary tales, superstitions, mysteries, and more to discover the truth behind the tale. This is Cautionary Tales with Harper.
Welcome to the show. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button. It's me, Harper Brewski, and my dad, Tony Brewski. Dad, have you ever had to deal with a Karen?
I've dealt with them my entire life. Yes. I truly do feel bad for folks who have that name, because I actually know several that are nice people that are not, do not fit the profile of what people are calling, you know, Karens, you know, today. But you know, it is what it is. But we'll talk about on today's show what that means. We'll kind of define what, you know, what that type of personality does, how they interact with people, and all of that.
Well, I can give you a base of what they basically are. Well, what they are basically is a middle-aged woman that makes a big deal of something that really shouldn't be made of a big deal of.
I think that it can be almost any age, quite honestly. I don't know if there's a definitive explanation for the age, but to me, it's more of a personality thing. And making big deals out of things that shouldn't be are certainly one of the many traits. But I think there's a lot of things that people look at and go, that's a Karen or that's a Kevin, because Kevin is like the male version of it. And again, we didn't invent the names. We didn't say, here's what you should call them. I feel bad for anybody with those names. I truly do. That now it's this thing. But we're going to talk more so about the phenomena of what people are pointing out, going, why are people behaving in this manner?
You know that saying that Karens usually say in a store, I would like to speak to the manager. It's a classic.
It is kind of a classic. Yeah, it is one of those that, you know, and in some cases, you need to do that. But sometimes, again, it's all about making more of a deal out of something than it needs to be.
Yeah.
And that's where that can be. You know, and I think individually in life, all of us have had moments where we have been a Karen or a Kevin under certain stress. And I don't know if the amount of stress that everyone is under right now, just with the way things are in the world, is bringing it out more, because I view everybody's tolerance level of sanity as a bucket. And at a certain point, that bucket overflows. And when that thing's overflowing, it can be very easy to be on edge and demonstrate some of the behaviors that we see of what people are talking about so frequently right now with this phenomena of the Karen and the Kevin thing.
Holidays are coming up. Mm-hmm. What are some of the Karen's horror stories?
For the holidays?
Yep.
That's an interesting one. That's where you could easily get the, I need to speak to your manager. But what about where it's like just the interaction with other family members? Because some folks have these people in their families, but you know, you don't usually speak out and go, oh my God, you're a Karen, you know, to a family member, if you want to keep the peace in any way, shape or form. But online on, I believe this was from Reddit. I found it through Ranker. Someone said, not married to a Karen, but married someone with a Karen for a sister. It says the sister-in-law is the freaking worst. I hate more than anything going out to dinner with her, listening to her order food and talk to the servers. Holidays are also terrible. She sends out long lists of expected gifts. She celebrates every holiday and birthday specifically for presents, even when not appropriate. Funny thing is, one time I was away from the dinner table when the bill came, and the sister-in-law waited for me to return to pay the bill by actually handing it to me. She didn't give it to her sibling, my sister, to pay half or anything, but expressly handed it for me to pay. By the way, her husband is an idiot and they are a match made in heaven.
Well, I'm glad that it's a happily married couple.
You know, in cases like that, you almost have to, you know, you walk away from it going, wow, well, at least they're happy, you know, or at least you think they're happy. I don't know. I mean, sometimes when you have that, you go, how do you tolerate that? How do you stay sane in that? But that's one of the worst things is when you have someone who expects gifts and will literally, you know, it's one thing if it's like an unsaid thing and like, sometimes we have that in our family where it's like, you know, what do you want? You know, what would you like? It's easier so we know that we're getting each other the things that we actually want. And as you get older, that's something you do. But it's something you kind of do more, you know, as
a kid.
A kid, yeah, with children. It's not necessarily something you do with an in-law or a sister-in-law and you give a wish list to a sister-in-law or a brother-in-law or something. That is really kind of crazy and very presumptive that here's a list. That's where you go back to the, you know, be happy with what you get, you know, if anything.
Yeah. And what really stood out to me is just like, really? When she handed the check to him or her, I'm sorry, it really didn't express anything of your gender, but it's just like, I would completely just like, you're going to pay for this.
Yeah. I mean, the assumption that you're going to have someone else pay. I mean, it's the appropriate thing would be to, I mean, if you want to pay for it, then, you know, pick up the check and say, I'm going to take this. But you never, ever pick up a bill and say, here, you pay. I mean, that's just insanely rude. Unless it's already expressly known that that person is paying for it. Like maybe like that person said, let me take you out for dinner. And then even then, it's still rude to pick up the bill and hand it. Because if that person is going to pay, they'll pick it up and they will take care of it. Nobody's going to walk out of the restaurant without paying. It's just more of the, it's like something internal inside that Karen is saying to Karen, you have to make sure that they pay. You have to make sure that they pay. And so their way of doing that is then picking up that bill and handing it to them because there's something in their mind that is, you know, not letting them escape that fear that what if they don't pay and they said they were going to pay. I don't know what that is, but it's sad if that's how someone is operating.
Yeah, and if they said that they're gonna take you out to dinner, they are paying, because they expressly told you that.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you just have really bad friends.
I've had that before, and I couldn't even tell you who or what or where or when, but I've had that with friends where it's. It's like, hey, you know, let me take you out for your birthday or something or whatever it may be. And then the bill comes and I usually still, I never expect anyone else to pay. But it is kind of funny sometimes when someone says, let me take you out. And then the bill comes and I still reach to pay and they're like, oh, you got it? It's kind of like, well, you kind of expressed earlier that you were going to get it, but sure, I guess so, considering you're implying it right now. And I mean, it's this weird dance people do around checks. But at the same point, it's like, if you said you were going to do it once, then stick with it. And accept that maybe some people are just trying to do social norms or what were social norms at one point in time of politeness. But I think a lot of that's out the window with a lot of folks these days, because I don't think there's a lot of great... social etiquette that people are aware of, especially younger folks that are coming up. It's a different world. It's a different interaction that so many folks have had that many of us did not grow up with and didn't have never saw that. And it's a disconnect that is kind of scary and weird that exists out there.
How should a Karen behave in a restaurant?
Well, other than the bill stuff. Here's another story from the restaurant. It says, my sister and sister-in-law are both Karens. I'll show up to a restaurant 15 minutes early to warn them and tell them if I'm not done, and tell the people at the restaurant that if things are not done to their liking, they will hear about it and they will make your shift hell. And they just go there as a warning, almost feeling bad in advance, going, look, I can't control this. I don't want you to look at me like I'm a horrible person, but the people who are joining me for this meal are horrible people. And please just be aware, take extra time to make sure things work out so we can all have a peaceful existence, it sounds like, is what they're doing.
It's just like, why even take that person out to dinner?
Well, sometimes you have the obligatory things where it's like, okay, we have to go and do this. And there was a show called Seinfeld that you've seen before. But you haven't seen every episode. There was one episode where Jerry and his friend, was it Putty? I don't remember what the character's name was. But it was this thing of Putty gave him Jerry a suit. And then he said, hey, now you owe me dinner. And Jerry's like, okay, that's fair, I guess. So they go out for dinner and he just orders the soup. And then he complains that the soup is cold. And that's all he wants is the soup. But it wasn't, they went to a restaurant, they sat down and had the dinner. And then Jerry's like, well, there's your dinner for the soup, or dinner for the suit. Thank you very much. He's like, that wasn't dinner. That was just soup. Like, you wanted to go here. We plan on going here. I can't control that you only ordered soup, but I gave you a suit and I only ordered soup. Well, yeah, but you could have ordered dinner. I wasn't stopping you from ordering. Well, I just wasn't hungry. And it's just that character was very much a Kevin on that show. Well, before we were using that term. Another story here that I have about in a restaurant, it says, I used to work in restaurants and those people made life hell. I do what I can to help. Generally, my drinks are better and we get a free appetizer as soon as those two tornadoes walk in and all hell breaks loose. Not enough ice. Table's too cold. It's too loud. I also tip really big because I don't want to be associated with the two tornadoes. I live overseas, so I only see them 2 weeks out of the year, so it is somewhat manageable. I only put up with their attitudes because they could make my nieces and they could take my nieces and nephews away from me. And I need my niece and nephew to know I'm always here for them and they can talk to me about anything. I can't risk our relationship being tampered with, especially since I only see them 2 weeks out of the year. So there you go. That's the answer to your question from earlier. Why do you go out to dinner with someone like that? Why do you put up with that? It's because this aunt, I believe aunt or uncle, I think it's aunt, is there knowing someday these kids are going to need somebody to talk to about their crazy Karens that are bringing them up. If they don't turn into Karens themselves, Karens and Kevins themselves, they're going to need someone to kind of commiserate with and go, yeah, you're not crazy. They were crazy. I'm sorry you had to deal with that, but that was life.
I would probably just like, I'm going to leave you with your parents.
Well, when they're kids, that's your choice. You don't have any choice, but they're looking out. I mean, kids can't pick their parents and things like that. And sometimes that's the hand you're dealt. And if that's the hand you're dealt, you know, you got to have some sympathy for people and hope that they can move on from what they had as upbringing.
It's nice to know that there's someone looking out for them.
Yeah, it really can be nice to, I think, have that in certain situations.
Do some Karens scam people?
That would be the case. And again, not all of these traits apply to all Karens. I guess that's the disclaimer we should make. Sometimes, you know, it's kind of pick and choose your favorite. But yeah, I mean, scamming is a thing. And sometimes people don't have much of a conscience about it. Letter I saw here and I found on Ranker says, my mom is a Karen. She thinks the world is supposed to cater to her, serve her, and everyone else is always wrong. Once we went to Carl's Jr., which is like Hardee's. She ordered four burgers for the four of us. She pulls one out of the bag while the guy is getting our drinks and hides it. She complains that they forgot a burger. She pulls them out one by one and counts them in front of him. It's obviously missing because she hid it and he's swearing up and down he put them in the bag. I am stunned, speechless, and it happened so fast. She ended up getting a free burger and laughed as we drove off. I'm just staring at her as she opens it to eat it on the drive home. She ate her actual burger like the fifth one never existed. I can't even explain how she is when she's in the hospital. She treats it like a luxury stay in a hotel.
Well, that's just called shoplifting if you're going to do that.
It is a form of stealing. I mean, it is 100% a form of stealing when you're scamming someone to get something and make it look like it was their error. But people do it. And just because, and the thing is, that's quite often the rationale that people use for it. Well, they're big enough. They're a big enough company. They can handle it. They can do this. They can do that. Not always. No. I mean, everyone has budgets. Everyone has people to employ. And if things aren't matching up for those people on those shifts, and there's more product that went out than was paid for, yeah, that company can handle it, but that company's also going to be looking at who's working that day too. And if it happens enough on a regular basis, guess who loses their job? Those people who were not doing anything wrong, but got scammed by people doing things like that. There's never a right reason to scam someone or take something that's not yours when you shouldn't be doing it. It's one thing if they got the order wrong and you go up and you say, hey, you know, I asked for, I ordered a hamburger, I got a chicken sandwich. Could we correct that? Nothing wrong with that. That's an error. That's fine. It is wrong when you say, hey, I ordered 3 chicken sandwiches and I only got 2, but you hid the other one in your glove box. I mean, that's wrong. You just shouldn't do something like that. And what do you think is going through someone's head when they're pulling off a scam like that? Because it said, you know, she just drove away and laughed about it. You know?
It's not something funny. It's like, what is the joke? All you did was get a cheeseburger in your purse.
Exactly. Why? What, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe I know there's a condition that some people have, and I don't know what it's called. But it's a disorder where, you know, it's kleptomania, essentially. But that's more like where you go into a store and you shoplift, and it's the rush of shoplifting. I don't know. I've never shoplifted. So I guess I can't say from experience I've never gotten the rush because I've never done it. But I've never looked at that as being like something where it would be a rush. I would just look at it as being I'm paranoid as heck that I'm going to get caught, and it's wrong. So why would I be doing it to begin with? But it is a thing that some people really get caught up in, and I personally don't understand it, but I guess it is something for some people. But it has to be recognized that, look, you can't be doing this in a civilized society if we'd like to continue living in one of those, which, who knows, that may not, you know, continue all that much longer. It's creepy.
What if it's too hot or too cold for Karen?
Well, you can never win that argument.
Exactly.
A Karen sometimes can never be comfortable, or a Kevin. This letter I found on Ranker said, not married to one, but my aunt is. My uncle is a soft-spoken giant. He never stands up to her in any way, except once at their daughter's wedding. She was about to interrupt the ceremony to close a window because she was chilly. Everyone sitting close could hear her whisper, I'm going to do it, but I don't want to be an asshole. My uncle is in a calm, quiet tone, quickly said, why stop now? Almost as if his filter just missed this one. I swear I could hear my dad snort 2 rows back, trying to hold his laughter. Karen was not happy. Go ahead.
That's just funny.
That is, that's a big one. That's a big pet peeve of mine. And I know people like this, where it's, and I get it. I get if you're, it's not fun being uncomfortably hot or uncomfortably cold, but there are places and times in life that you simply have to accept you're going to be uncomfortably warm or uncomfortably cool, and you can't do anything about it because it is not socially right to do it.
Yeah, and in those times, just like, suck it up, buttercup.
Especially in the middle of a wedding, yes, suck it up, buttercup. But I mean, I, one of those, it's like I, in restaurants, in, you know, in someone else's home that you may be staying at. To go around someone else's home and adjust the thermostat to me is just kind of a crazy idea, because it's not your home and other people do like different temperature settings. And if you're cold, bring a jacket. If you're too hot, wear something that will help cool you off. But don't sit there and make life a living hell for everyone around you because you're too hot or too cold. And we heard you for the 30th time that you're chilly. No one cares. And I guess that's the thing that is not realized by Karen sometimes, is the fact that no one cares. And if everyone else around you is comfortable and you're chilly, guess what? The majority wins. And you got to figure something else out.
Yeah.
I don't know. It blows my mind because it's beyond the scope of anything I would ever do. So when I see other people doing it, I'm just like, really? Well, I don't know. It's hard for me to figure it out, but it is certainly one of those things.
Coupons and Karens. Why don't they mix?
Okay. Here's another story. It says, when I was working in retail, this one woman had a big bag of coupons. Most of them were unusable because they were either expired or they were duplicates. She berated me because my system was rejecting most of the coupons. She called me stupid, amongst other names, telling me I just wasn't doing it right. Then, as a typical Karen would, she asked to speak to the manager. Manager came and asked what the problem was. The woman ranted about how incompetent I was because I didn't know how to scan a coupon. My manager looked at the coupons and the coupons were the problem, not me. My manager called out the customer for being disrespectful for me and told the customer to leave the store. I hated working there, but I'm so grateful that the managers I had totally didn't go by the customer is always right rule and weren't afraid to stand up for their employees. That was just one of many incidents.
Okay. Karens are a big population, so why am I not surprised that's just one of many incidents?
There's a lot of people that want to kind of bend rules. And sometimes with coupons you can, and sometimes you can't. And I don't know if it's something where, well, this one store honored it, so I expect all stores to. If you have something that's expired, my immediate assumption is no one's going to accept it. If someone does, well, lucky you. But I've never been to the point where I actually brought out the expired coupon expecting it to be honored, unless there's some sort of weird, bizarre circumstance. For example, there's a store that I get some clothes from sometimes, and they'll send me like a $10 coupon in the mail. And quite often, I never get to the store in time to use the $10 coupon. When I was checking out, I was saying to the person, I said, I wish I would get here in time to use those coupons I get in the mail. I said, but I always forget when they come in to either bring them in or to use them in time. And she said to me, oh, they have expiration dates, but we honor them no matter what. So feel free. You can always bring those in. But I respect that as being that's that specific store. Only that one. So I'm like, okay, well, thank you so much. I'll keep that in mind. I wasn't trying to scam or get anything out of it. I was just kind of chit-chatting. But I would not then immediately assume that then the Kroger down the road is going to accept all of my coupons that I have, where I get basically everything for nearly free because I'm trying to combine and use coupons that are way out of date. I wouldn't expect them to honor that because the clothing store in another city honored some coupon. But I think sometimes there's this mindset with people that if it was done one place, it must be done everywhere, across the board, no matter what. And it's a really weird way of thinking, but it is how some people operate. And then they get very upset when that operandi of thinking doesn't work for them. So.
And it's horrible that these people think these ways, like that if this one rule is gonna work here, mm-hmm. It's gonna work everywhere.
Yeah.
Guess what? It's not a cartoon.
Yeah, exactly.
Karen's in closing time. Why don't they mix?
Here's another one. A mother of a girl that someone went to school with comes into the shop that someone works at. It's almost closing time, 5:58 p.m. They close at 6. Lights are half off. The door is closed. Roller door is half down. They go, "Hi, my name is so-and-so. I'm just running in to grab a few things before I can tell her not to." She's gone into the aisles. My manager comes over and goes, "What are you doing? We have to be done by 6. He went to find her. She's already got a basket full of things going. And she's asking about where are some other items. Keep in mind, this is a fruit shop. Half of the items come off the shelves, go into a cool room. My manager is literally the nicest guy ever and agrees to ring up her items as long as she pays with a card, as all the cash is packed up into the safe. "No, that's ridiculous. I only have cash. My name is so-and-so. Hun, can you tell him I only have cash?" So I tell her the exact same thing. "We literally can't access the cash once the safe is closed for the day." "Well, can you just pay for it on your card and I'll get my daughter to pay you back?" I tell her I can't do that. And she starts shouting about how unprofessional we are, that the shop is awful because half the items are gone. Never mind that we're closed. And she's never coming back. She avoids me at school events now, and I honestly feel sorry for her daughter. The stories I hear about this woman are shocking. Icing on her, on the cake on this one, her name is actually Karen. So this one actually does match up with it. And one of those things where they go into the store thinking, doesn't matter. I mean, when you go into a store and they're almost closed and it's closing time, that's where you say no. I'm not going to go, and these people have a life too, and they're ready to leave. And it's my own fault I got here late. Maybe it was beyond my control, but you got to take responsibility at some point.
Or just go the next day.
Exactly. What a novel concept that would be, huh?
Yeah. Karen's and returning things.
That's, you know, it kind of ties into what we've been talking about. Here's another story. It says, working retail one afternoon, and here comes a Karen with a return. At first glance, it's no big deal. Just coming in to return a shirt, walks up to the register, hands me the receipt to start processing, and we exchange a pleasant greeting. I take the shirt out of the bag to examine it, and it's beyond disgusting. There were brown sweat stains all over it. From the pits to the stomach to the shoulder, it looks like whoever wore it rolled in mud or some sort of nonsense. I proceeded to tell the woman that I cannot return the product because it had clearly been used and that only unused or resellable items could be returned. Well, the Karen, through a fit, started screaming at me and accusing me of calling her a liar and whatnot. I hold up the shirt and point to the brown pit stains and say, "Can't you see the stain?" Oh, man, did that make it worse. She continues making a huge scene and demands to see, guess who?
The manager!
Newsflash, Karen, I'm the manager, and I'm not budging. After 20 or so minutes of complaining, she finally leaves saying she'll be complaining to corporate and getting me fired and blah, blah, blah. Fast forward a few days, guy walks into the store, finds the first store associate he can, and immediately asks for me by name. Here we go again. Anyway, my associate brings the guy over to me while I'm standing and I politely greet him. The guy spends the next 10 minutes apologizing for his crazy wife, Karen, verbally abusing my staff and I a few days prior. Apparently, the guy went to the beach and did some type of CrossFit training class in the sand. Karen knows all of this. She was in class with him. The guy ended up not liking the shirt for some reason, and Karen thought she could pull a fast one on us by making a scene. Thanks again, Karen.
It's nice that the guy came back in to apologize for what his wife has done.
It is. It makes you feel really bad for the guy, though.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you function
with that girl?
Yeah. How do you stay sane with that going on? I mean, that would just be, I don't know. I do sympathize with someone who would have to go through that. I don't have that in my world, but I feel really bad for someone who would be going through that.
Karen's at the drive-thru.
Karen's in the drive-thru?
Yep.
Yep, Karen's in the drive-thru. Here's the story. It says I was working a back drive at a fast food joint years ago, and an older Karen comes driving in to give her order. The location doesn't have a speaker due to a neighborhood ordinance, so all the orders in the drive-thru are taken face-to-face. She orders a double cheeseburger without onions, and I ring it in, complete her order, send her on her way. About 5 minutes later, she's picked up her food. She comes back through the drive-thru and says, they put onions on my burger. I apologize. Print her up a duplicate receipt to confirm to her and myself that I rang it up without onions. I then tell her that if she goes up to the front window and tells the manager who's working up front, they'll replace the burger for free, made correctly, but that I can't do anything about it back here. She does so, and then they give her a brand new burger and an apology. I thought that was the end of the situation, but boy, was I wrong. Karen called the state government on me. The food safety department, the Chamber of Commerce, and the governor's office. The franchise owner called to say that it turned out that Karen is allergic to onions, and she straight up accused me of deliberately ringing her sandwich in wrong, trying to poison her, then printing up a false duplicate receipt of her order to make her look like a liar. Keep in mind that I read the receipt back to her, and she confirmed it was her order. I didn't get along with the manager who was working at the time, but even he was like, that's complete crap. It wasn't even his mistake. It was the kitchen's, and we fixed it for her. The franchise owner was told by whichever branch of the state government called that the Karen had demanded that I be fired. I wasn't. It wasn't even written up, but I did stop wearing my name tag at work when I could get away with it. Got the state government called on me by Karen because the kitchen messed up an order, which got replaced free of charge. Could have been fired for a mistake that wasn't even theirs.
Getting a little extreme there, Karen.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit when the onions are on the burger, and that does typically go on a burger at a restaurant. It'd be one thing if, like, somebody put shrimp on the burger, and it's not anything that you normally put on the burger where there's an allergy like that. But it's something where it's like, really? Do we really need to go to that length to get a point across? Especially when the restaurant corrected it and apologized. It's one thing if they're defiant and they're lying and they're just being mean about it. Then I say, you know what? Turn something in if people are truly trying to harm you. But if they're not, and it was an honest mistake, which that was, let it go.
Yeah, and if anything, it truly makes sense if you actually come in with the burger, with the bite that is yours, and it has onions on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you can show that, yeah, it was. But it's just, people make mistakes. It will happen. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it comes down to is why, you know, why would you make such a big deal out of such a small thing?
That wraps up today's episode. Be sure to press that subscribe button wherever you download podcasts and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you don't ask the right questions, you could end up being part of a cautionary tale. For Cautionary Tales with Harper, I'm Harper Brewski.